The Hunter and the Rock Star. Men winch a large striped tiger in a metal cage from a small boat onto a sunlit pier.
Okay, boys, raise away! What? Hey, what's your party?
The tiger lies down as the cage is craned upwards and guided onto the back of a pickup truck.
Hand off there. Okay, keep on moving. More, a little more. Hold it, that's good. Slack!
A man in khaki safari shorts and shirt unhooks the cage.
See you Friday. Have a nice trip. Good luck.
Luck doesn't have anything to do with it, does it, so? Nah. Glanny's away, huh? Glanny.
Yeah!
That's more like it. Yeah, devil!
Having enraged the beast, the man gets into the truck. In a yard, the safari guy pushes the cage from the back of the truck onto a table where a dark-haired man peers through the mesh at the dozing tiger, watched by the safari guy with a smirk.
Doesn't seem right, hunting a tame animal.
He won't be tame when I'm through with him.
Just a pussycat, aren't you, Sultan?
Yeah. Big 500-pound pussycat.
That actor he mauled doesn't think he's a pussycat.
Well, from what I read, the darn fool wouldn't stop teasing him. I've seen this cat on TV. Kids climbing all over it. No more turned mean than I have.
Now, you listen to me, Ironwood. McKinsey pays me to buy big game animals to bring to this island for him to hunt. It's my job. And unlike you, college boy, I like my job. Intend to keep it no matter what. And if you intend to keep your job, you won't interfere with my efforts to make this tiger mean. Clear?
Clear. That all, Mr. Frost?
For now.
Sultan licks the cage as the two men stare at one another, then lies down. Alec Frost turns to the tiger as Joe Ironwood walks away.
McKenzie will be here Friday. That just gives us 2 days to get acquainted. I'll be back.
Frost sneers at Sultan and strolls off. A sandy-haired young man sings in front of a band on stage. Outfit, his shirt open to show his chest, the singer runs into the wings while the audience leap up from their seats. After a moment, he goes back on stage. He jogs backstage.
Great, fantastic. Come on, hurry up. We gotta get going. The car's with you. Come on, you can rig that on the way. Let's go.
The rock star's suited manager leads him to the guarded stage door.
Stay close, Mr. Winters. There's a crowd already out there. Close to the wall, all the way.
Come on, let's get going.
A slim, elegant woman watches from the back seat of a limousine as the young star and his manager are bundled through a crowd of fans by two security guards to join her. The blonde woman mops the exhausted young man's brow as the fans chase after the limo.
Wally, you all right?
Sure he is. All part of being a big star, eh, buddy boy?
I hate it.
Oh, no, you're saying that. You didn't mean it.
I don't actually hate it. Not the singing, anyway. I'm just tired. You know, fed up. I need a few days off.
Is that possible?
In the middle of a tour?
Well, maybe some other time, dear. Later in the year, perhaps.
But don't count on it. We're booked solid to December. Then we got that big TV special, huh? And two recording sessions.
Mom, all I want is a few days, you know? Taking a ball game, maybe go fishing with Dad.
Are you crazy? You know how our contracts read? We could lose half a mil, maybe more.
I don't care. I'm rich enough now.
Nobody's rich enough, Paulie.
Just a few days, Mom.
She looks at Paul's manager.
Mr. Matthews knows best.
Say, kid, what do you say on the way to the hotel we stop off and get a pizza, huh? Pepperoni, your favorite.
In the yard on the island, Frost taunts Sultan through the iron mesh sides of the cage.
Yeah, come on. Come and get it. Come on.
Sultan bares his teeth. Joe pulls up in his off-road vehicle, shaking his head as he watches Frost. Sitting alone on a sofa in a hotel suite, Paul reads a newspaper. He comes across a photo of Sultan beneath the headline, Actor Recuperating from Mauling, with the caption, Fate of Sultan, Famous Television Tiger, Still Unknown. He wanders to the window and gazes at kids playing basketball. Paul turns and strides towards the door, throwing the newspaper on the sideboard, where it slides to the floor. He grabs a leather bag from a wardrobe. Sultan bares his teeth as Joe looks into his cage.
Don't trust me anymore, huh? Well, you're not the first.
What the devil do you think you're doing?
Just feeding him some scraps.
Feed that cat. I want him hungry and mean. Next time I catch you trying to undermine my orders, you are fired. You understand that?
Frost prods Sultan with a stick as Joe walks away.
Come on, you stupid. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hate me. Hate me. Hate me. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Come on.
With his jacket on and bag packed in the hotel suite, Paul signs a handwritten note. Dear Mum, I've gone away for a few days. Want to be by myself. Please don't worry, I'll be fine. He grabs his bag and leaves. As the door closes, the draft wafts the note down onto the newspaper on the floor. Once Paul's gone, a chambermaid wheels a cleaning trolley through from a bedroom and begins to dust the sideboard. She sees the newspaper on the floor. Stooping, she scoops it up with the note and tosses it into her rubbish bag. Joe stands by as Frost unlocks Sultan's cage. Frost scares Sultan with shots. The tiger bounds away, its ears flattened in fear.
Ah, get out of here, you ugly devil! Get!
Firing into the air. Sultan scurries away into the trees that surround the compound. A long silver bus with Los Angeles marked above the front window pulls into a bus station beside the sunlit bay. Paul emerges amid the passengers who file out, his leather bag slung over his shoulder. Casting a wary glance around, he strolls along the street as the bus pulls away. In the distance, the mountainous island rises from the sunlit bay. Passing a car park, Paul wanders to a grey-bearded man behind the reception desk of the Cove Motel.
Room, please?
No room, just cottages.
How much will it be for one night?
$30.
Back in the 50s, while I was still on the force, we used to have a loan.
Paul takes a bill from a wad.
Hey, that's a lot of cash for a kid your age to be carrying. You didn't steal it, did you?
No.
You better tell the truth now, son. The sheriff's just as close as that phone.
Paul turns and dashes back out as the man picks up the desk phone. Looking behind as he runs, Paul sprints back along the street, stopping as he sees a police car driving down the hill. He runs back the way he came. Clutching his bag, Paul leaps over a low fence towards a marina as the police car closes in, lights flashing. Paul runs around the balcony of a seafront diner, then stops as he sees the police car park. He looks out across the marina. Shooting a furtive glance at the police car, Paul sneaks over the side of the balcony and clambers down rocks, bounding across small boats and onto a jetty. He looks back to see the uniformed sheriff get out of his car. Paul hurriedly boards the boat that Sultan had been unloaded from. He tries the locked door, then crouches out of sight. The sheriff wanders along the dockside, scanning the marina from behind his aviator shades. Paul peers over the boat side at the sheriff. As the sheriff turns and walks away, Paul rises and makes to leave the boat, but doubles back aboard at the sight of the captain and three crew strolling along the jetty towards him. Carrying his bag, Paul sneaks along the side of the boat and hides beneath a tarpaulin lying on the bow. The captain and crew board. Now on the top deck of the boat, the captain looks out to see a long, sleek black car cruise into the car park by the marina. The captain hurries off and along the jetty past his crew towards the car as a uniformed chauffeur parks it.
Okay, boys, you got 5 minutes to get everything on board. Come on, get moving.
The chauffeur opens the car's rear door for a fair-haired, middle-aged man in a suit who limps with a cane to the captain.
Good morning, Mr. McKenzie. You're somewhat early, sir, aren't you? I wasn't expecting you till this afternoon.
I make my own timetable, Hicks.
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. McKenzie. I meant no disrespect, sir.
What's more, I want you to have that tub underway before I get settled below. Got it?
Yes, sir, Mr. McKenzie.
With a salute to his suited boss, Captain Hicks hurries back down the steps to the jetty. Broad-shouldered McKenzie reaches into the inside pocket of his suit jacket and takes out a cigar, holding it under his nose. After a sniff, he passes it to his chauffeur.
Some life when you have to take your pleasures vicariously, eh, Jake? I'll be back Sunday night, usual time, got it?
Yes, sir, and good hunting.
With a smirk, McKenzie takes another cigar from his jacket pocket and hobbles away down the steps to the jetty. Paul peers out from beneath the tarpaulin, watching McKenzie approach, then ducks down again. The crew members untie the moorings and hurry aboard after McKenzie, who walks through the cabin and below deck, beneath Paul peering out from beneath the tarp. The boat turns out into the bay. Matthew's on the phone.
All right, thank you.
Any word?
Not yet.
I knew it.
Come on now, Edna. The police say there's no evidence that he's been kidnapped. They think he just ran out. And they're doing their utmost to find him.
I know, but it's just that I just feel so helpless. I mean, if only I'd just listen to him.
If only we'd listen to him, you mean. It's more my fault than yours. He told me just how he felt, but I just thought he was grumbling. I didn't know it. A few days off would mean so much to him.
In bright sunshine, Mackenzie hobbles off the boat onto the high pier at the island.
Pick me up Sunday, usual time, got it?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mackenzie.
Frost! You got that tiger all primed and ready for me to kill?
You bet I have, Mr. Mackenzie. Welcome, Mr. Mackenzie. So wonderful to see you again here, sir.
Polishing fish bait.
Beg pardon, sir?
Come on, let's go.
Yes, sir.
They get into Frost's truck. Paul scrambles onto the pier, pulling his bag with him through the railings. He sneaks under the steps and hides beneath dock boards as the boat pulls away.
I hope you've got that tiger plenty mean, Frost. I don't want to be hunting no tame television tabby cat.
He's me, Mr. Mackenzie. I've turned him into a real killer.
Mackenzie scowls as Frost tries to start the battered old pickup.
Don't you ever check these batteries?
Paul creeps to the top of the pier steps from the water and watches the pickup drive away. Once the truck has gone, Paul follows it along the pier to the dirt road into the island. He stops, looking concerned as he reads a sign. Trespassers will be shot. Sportsman's Island. As Paul strolls along the dusty road in his jeans and blue baseball jacket, still clutching his bag, he doesn't see Sultan trotting after him through the surrounding woodland. Paul frowns as he casts a searching glance around the dappled sunlight beneath the trees. Paul breaks into a run, dashing away through the trees. He casts anxious looks back as the tiger pads casually after him through the long, dry grass. Paul slows, exhausted. Now the big cat breaks into a bounding run, and Paul sets off again. Reaching the foot of a cliff, Paul sees the mouth of a dark cave set up in the rocks. With a glance back at Sultan closing in, Paul makes for it. Paul leaps across boulders with his bag, scrambling up and into the dark cave. Exhausted, he staggers to the back of the cave and sits down on the ground with his back against the rocky wall. Outside, Sultan runs across a stream and leaps up into the cave mouth. Paul leaps up, pressing himself against the rocks in terror as the tiger lopes into the cave towards him. Paul cowers, holding his hands up, as the big cat lurches forward, rises up on his hind legs, plants his paws on Paul's chest, then licks Paul's hand.
Wow. Well, you're no killer at all. Just want to be friends, don't you?
Paul crouches, stroking the big cat.
Hey. Hey, you're Sultan, aren't you? Yeah, I seen you on TV. Read about that trouble you were in, too. I wonder why those men want to kill you. You're just like my cat Elliot back home in Denver. When he wants to be petted, he comes over and bats you on the leg. Only I sure wouldn't want to be batted on the leg by that. Not even a love tap. You know what? I'm starved. Haven't had anything since yesterday. I'm gonna see if I can find us a store or something. Get us some food. What do you say to that? How you doing, boy? It's a good boy. That's a good boy. Stay here.
Paul goes to the cave's mouth. He peers out into the daylight, then looks back at Sultan.
Stay here. I won't be long.
Paul leaves his bag. Sultan trots after him, out of the cave and back down to the foot of the cliff.
No, go back. Go back. Come on, don't you understand? If those men see you, they'll shoot you. Okay, but we're gonna play it my way. Rope. What are we gonna use for rope? Well, maybe this vine will work.
He takes a penknife from his pocket.
Let's see here.
Joe, Frost, and Mackenzie in the hunting lodge.
We can look forward to mostly clear skies through the weekend. That's sports and weather. Now, news wrap-up. Pop recording star Paul Winters is still missing, and the police are beginning to consider the possibility of kidnapping. He was last
Turn
reported
that
seen
junk
in his
off,
hotel
Big
room
Joe.
By a cleaning maid.
Kidnap.
His parents report...
Shows how little the cops know. Kid hadn't been snatched. Pampered young punks probably holed up in some motel room cuddling a bunch of groupies.
With the vine now tied around Sultan's neck to form a makeshift leash, Paul creeps through the woods towards the lodge with Sultan at his side. They see Joe emerge. Paul watches Joe open the steel door of a concrete store and go inside, re-emerging with bottles and carrying them back up towards the house. With a glance at the caged dogs, Paul stalks out once Joe has gone.
Wait here, I'll be right back.
Sultan follows Paul towards the store.
Oh, hold it, don't move, stay. I thought I told you to stay. All right, come on.
They creep inside.
Shh, cool it.
They find themselves surrounded by shelves of food in tins and jars. Mackenzie in the hunting lodge.
How about a little target practice?
Well, sure, sir, if you want to.
If I didn't want to, I wouldn't ask.
Well, of course not.
Big Joe?
Yes, sir.
Take my drink outside and grab a box of shells.
As a matter of fact, I think I'd like a little target practice.
Okay.
I should probably pay for it, huh?
Paul takes out his money.
But I don't want him to find it too soon, else they'll know where we are, you know what I mean? I'll put it right under here.
He slips a note under a jar. Sultan rears up, pouring tins off the shelves.
Shh! Oh, great, I mean, why don't you go outside and beat on a drum or something? Really advertise for you.
As Paul restacks the shelves, Mackenzie and Frost load their weapons outside. Paul puts the last tins back.
Let's see what else I can score. Ah, let's see. We'll need some candles for light, right?
The target practice scares Sultan outside.
Sultan, no!
Paul crouches as he hurries out after Sultan. Joe barbecues while Mackenzie and Frost blast bottles. Frost misses.
That's $3 you owe me. You're not quitting, are you?
Yes, sir. You're too good for me. Would you settle for $2.75, sir?
No way. Here's two ones, and a five. Give me that ten.
Take care of the quarters, and the bucks will look after themselves, right, Big Joe?
Whatever you say, Mr. Mackenzie.
Sultan and Paul are in the river. They frolic in the water together. Paul swims away in his jeans. Sultan swims after.
Come on, come on! Come on!
Tiger jumps through the water. Dry and dressed, Paul trains Sultan in their cave.
All right, now let's see. All right, I want you to sit up. Okay, you want some of this?
Huh? Paul holds beef jerky.
Now sit up. Attaboy. There you go. Attaboy, all right, it's good to see you back to normal. All right, I'm gonna sit down here. Oh, boy.
They sit together, Sultan licking Paul's hand.
Sure wish Mom and Dad could see you. Especially Dad, he loves wild animals. Well, I guess you're not really wild, are you? Still, I wish they could see you.
Paul's eyes close.
I'm sleepy.
He lays his hand on the tiger at his side.
Good night.
Paul smiles as his eyes close. His head lolls backwards as he sits propped upright against a rock wall. Bright sunlight bathes the canopy of trees outside the mouth of the cave as Paul snoozes, still sitting upright, but now with sleeping Sultan's massive head on his lap. They jolt awake as Mackenzie fires into the cave from below. Mackenzie fires into the cave again.
Stay soft, man. It's all right. Good boy.
What do you think, Frost?
It's definitely not there, Mr. Mackenzie. No cat to remain inside after that.
Well, let's get going. We'll hunt along the north shore this morning.
Sultan appears at the cave mouth beside Paul as he watches Frost and Mackenzie traipse away through the trees.
Come here. Come on, let's see if we can get us some more food while they're gone. Better keep to hard ground, though. Hide our tracks.
Paul leads Sultan down the cliff on the vine leash.
Come on.
Joe's splitting logs at the lodge as they return to the store. As Paul goes into the concrete outbuilding, Sultan turns and slips away. The big cat paces down towards the caged dogs. Joe puts down his axe as he hears the dogs, while Paul peers out around the store door. Paul runs to Sultan, who's snarling at the dogs.
Come on, you turkey! Do you want to get a shot? Come on!
Paul pulls Sultan away on the vine leash, just before Joe makes his way down to the dog's cage. Joe looks out across the grounds and sees the tiger and team running away.
You're not as smart as Ellie. At least he knows enough to stay.
Sit tight, young fella. I'm coming in.
Joe approaches Sultan and Paul.
It's all right, Sultan. It's the rifle.
I know. It has good cause to hate it, too. I just wanted to make sure you had him under control.
Are you hunting him, too?
No. I'm the caretaker, Joe Ironwood. You're Paul Winters, aren't you?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Saw a picture of you once.
Huh. Mackenzie and Frost.
Don't worry, Miss Mackenzie. That tiger's here. Somewhere. I'm gonna find him.
I'm not worried, Frost. The animal ain't been born. It can outsmart George Mackenzie. Now clean up this mess and catch up to me.
Mackenzie casts a look back at Frost, who begins clearing away their picnic. Joe sits with Paul and Sultan.
Don't underestimate Mackenzie, Paul. He's a self-made, ruthless man, dedicated to killing.
Then I'll buy Sultan. Offer Mackenzie whatever he wants.
Money doesn't interest Mackenzie. Has most of that now. Killing. Trophy heads. That's what interests Mackenzie. Before he was injured, he hunted all over the world. Now that he's lame, he's limited to whatever animals Frost can bring to the island. The best thing for you to do is to come back with me, to forget about saving Sultan. Go back to the mainland with Mackenzie.
No, I'm sorry. I can't do that, Mr. Ironwood. I gotta save him. I don't know how, but I have to do it.
Sure. I understand. Well, if there's anything I can do, Paul, just let me know.
Yeah, well, I could use a rope, because the thing he has on there is pretty flimsy. And then I could tie him up in the cave and keep him there until Mackenzie left.
Well, plenty of rope back at the lodge. We can get it now if you want.
Yeah, okay, great. Come on, Sultan. Come on, Sultan, let's go. Come on. Up, up, come on.
Paul ties Sultan in the cave.
Oh, I know. Quit complaining. I'm only doing it for your own good. I don't want you running around out there. Besides, after tomorrow, Mackenzie will be gone. You'll have all the freedom you want. Good boy.
But there's no point in wasting another day. We use the dogs tomorrow. Flush that cat out of its hiding place.
That's a good idea, Mr. Mackenzie. And if you'd like, perhaps we can stake out the goat tonight. His cry should attract the tiger. Give the dogs a fresh scent.
Do it.
Joe eyes the two hunters warily as they eat their dinner together in the lodge. A candle burns beside Paul as he dozes in the cave with Sultan at his side. They hear footsteps on the rocks outside as someone climbs up to the cave mouth.
Stay down, Sultan. Stay down. Oh, you gave us a scare. I thought it was Mackenzie.
Sorry. I just wanted to warn you. They intend to use the dogs today. Now they'll definitely find you.
If only we had a boat or something.
Then I could take you to Walk On Island.
Walk On Island?
It means enchanted, mystical. It's about 10 miles north of here. Belongs to my people. It's an ancient burial grounds. No one ever goes there now, and there's plenty of wild game. Sultan would be safe there.
Listen, what if I can fool the dogs? Can you get a boat after Mackenzie leaves?
I'll sure try, but I warn you, it won't be easy to fool those dogs.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. Easy. Easy, Sultan.
Paul leads Sultan on the rope down to the stream. Frost and Joe release the hounds.
Charlie, go!
The four dogs race through the long dry grass. Paul watches Sultan lap from the stream. Frost sprints after the dogs, clutching his weapon, with Joe and Mackenzie following.
Come on, Sultan. Like Dad says, you're not beaten till you give up.
As the dogs run through a glade, Sultan leads Paul away through the scrubby bushes up a hillside. Paul runs through surf across a beach with Sultan.
Always works in those convict movies. Let's go, go!
Both drenched by the waves, the tiger and the teen wade around rocks as the dogs follow their trail.
We'll cut around the rocks. Lose your scent in the water.
Now at the head of the hunting party, Mackenzie hobbles down towards the sandy beach, clutching his weapon, with Frost rushing after and Joe, unarmed, reluctantly bringing up the rear. The hunters follow their hounds along the beach and through the crashing surf after the fugitives, who round a headland and run up a slope. Frost looks down at Mackenzie and Joe from atop rocks.
The trail.
If there ever was one, to round up these dogs, let's cover this whole area.
Charlie, horse, psycho! Hunt, hunt, hunt!
Charlie, horse, psycho!
cliff top above, Sultan and Paul watch the hunters rush away along the coast after the dogs.
Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on.
Joe looks out to sea.
I still say the tiger took to the water. Probably drowned by now.
Nobody cares what you think. Just keep your mouth shut.
Well, if there is a tiger on this island, Big Joe, I'm beginning to admire it. Let's go.
Paul leads Sultan away once the hunters have moved on.
I told you I'd pull him. All right, come on, let's get back to the cave. Come on. Yep.
As the tiger and the rock star make their way back inland across a rocky slope, the pack close in again behind them. Paul smiles and leads Sultan away on the rope.
Come on, I got an idea.
With the dogs running at full tilt, Paul and Sultan sneak back across the lawn to the hunting lodge. The four hounds bound across the grass towards the wooden building as their quarry reached the door. Ushers Sultan inside and shuts the door on the marauding pack of dogs. Paul leads Sultan to the sofa.
Brush up again, sir.
He pushes the big cat down and rubs the soft furnishings all over him before leading the tiger out of the back door.
Sultan, I'll be right back.
Paul runs back through the lodge and jams a chair under the front door handle from the inside before scampering back to Sultan.
Come on, boy.
Paul rushes off into the woods as the dogs break through the barricaded door and Mackenzie, Frost and Joe return.
What's going on in there?
The hunters rush in to find the dogs ransacking the lodge, tearing up the sofa and cushions.
Get those dogs out of here! Useless pack of mutts! I couldn't track a scout if I sprayed them! Get them out of here! Come on! Come on! You know, this is all your fault.
My son?
Yes, everything I ever hunted, I put up around this room.
Yeah.
Now suddenly I can't find a tiger on an island no bigger than Spit. You know, I've been thinking about that coming back here. And you know what I think? I think that you messed up. I think that you shot that tiger while you were making him mean.
Oh, no, sir, that's not so.
Yes, yes, yes. And being the useless fish bait that you were afraid to face me, afraid to tell me the truth.
No, sir, I swear it.
Forget it, Frost. I don't care what you swear. Get that pickup ready. I'm going back to the mainland. Come on.
Joe grins as he follows Mackenzie out, while Frost sinks to his knees beside one of the dogs, grasping a handful of the feathery stuffing that covers the lodge. Joe jogs down a ridge to catch up with the teen and his tiger friend.
Hold up, Paul. Paul, you did it. Mackenzie's leaving.
Really? Sultan, we did it. You hear that? You're free. Safe. Now all we need is a boat to get to Enchanted Island.
Don't worry. I'll find one somehow.
All right.
I'd better get back. Make sure Frost doesn't stop Mackenzie from leaving. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Paul nods at Sultan with a smile, then waves as he watches Joe jog back up the hill towards the hunting lodge. Crouching in the long grass across the bay, Sultan and Paul watch Frost's truck drive back along the jetty from Mackenzie's boat moored there. Joe drives Frost in the truck past the tiger in the trees.
Stop! Stop!
Salt, no!
Turn around, go back.
Bull hurries down the slope after Sultan, but can't stop him leaping onto the bonnet of the pickup.
Hit the gas, get rid of him! Shake him off!
Sultan flies off the bonnet and runs away as Joe brakes.
Cameras been holed up in that cave the whole time.
You don't know that for sure.
Sure we do. It's the only place in the island we didn't look. There's still plenty of light. I'm going to nail him right now.
That's a pretty steep climb, Mr. McKenzie. We should flush it out.
Look,
with the
I told you before I face what I kill. Now, come on, let's go!
Frost leaves his weapon behind as he and Joe follow McKenzie to the slope below the cave.
McKenzie, don't do it. That's a bad angle up there.
Roped, Sultan paces beside Paul in the cave while McKenzie scrambles up.
That's loose shale up there.
The tiger strains on his rope tied to a heavy rock as Frost and Joe watch McKenzie clamber up.
McKenzie could just be inside the mouth of the cave.
Watch your step.
Mackenzie's weapon slips from his grasp as he climbs and falls down onto the rocks below. It fires. Ears flattened, baring his fangs, Sultan strains against his frayed tether and snaps it. He lurches out of the cave, pouncing on Mackenzie and grappling with him at the top of the slope. Mackenzie tumbles down to Frost and Joe, with Sultan pacing after. Frost holds his hands up to the cat, while Mackenzie lies sprawled on his back. Frost and Joe lift Mackenzie up out of the stream as Sultan returns to the cave. From the cave mouth, Sultan looks down at the retreating men, Mackenzie between Frost and Joe, his arms across their shoulders. Frost watches Joe lie Mackenzie under a blanket aboard the boat.
Would you like me to accompany you to the hospital, Mr. McKenzie?
No, stay here. Close everything down.
Close?
Yeah, I'm selling the island.
No, Mr. McKenzie, you can't.
Don't tell me what I can do. It's gonna be a while before I can hunt again. If ever. Now, my mind's made up.
What about me, sir?
You, sir? Well, you just have to find yourself another apple to polish. Now, go on, get out of here.
Please, Mr. McKenzie, don't.
I said get out of here. You know something? I've got more respect for that tiger than I've got for you. At least it had the guts to face up to me.
Joe smirks as he watches Frost leave with a sneer. Back on the beach, Sultan and Paul frolic together in the surf. Sultan leaps up on his hind legs, placing his huge paws playfully on Paul's back as they walk along carefree. As the tide comes in, Frost leads two dogs through the water, his weapon slung over his back.
Come on, I'm gonna kill that tiger. It's the last thing I ever do.
Oh no, let's get out of here.
Paul sees a boat offshore.
Come on, Sultan, come on, let's go. Gotta go.
Sultan follows on the rope as Paul swims out beyond the waves into the calm water. Then both climb aboard the anchored boat.
Right away, Sultan. All right.
The owner comes up from below deck.
Gotta help us, mister, else I'm gonna set this tiger on you.
Frost sees the owner on his boat.
Come on. Come on! Come on! Move it! Hey! Hey! Have you seen a tiger?
A tiger?
That's what I said, wasn't it?
Truth is, I ain't even seen a fish!
The guy calls Paul up from the cabin.
He's going. What now?
You know where Enchanted Island is?
Sure.
Okay, take us there and I'll explain everything on the way.
With Mackenzie's larger island in the distance, the small white motorboat cruises across the bay into a calm cove. Sultan lies on his stomach in the sunshine at the rear, while Paul climbs up to join the owner on the top deck, who turns the boat around to face back out to sea.
I've told my share of fishing stories, but this one tops them all. Did you get a hold of your parents?
No, but the police are going to have to meet us at the cove.
I'll lay offshore for you.
Okay.
Sultan and Paul dive off the stern.
Yeah.
The boat owner watches them.
I wished I had a camera. No one is ever going to believe this.
Paul swims front crawl with his head out of the water beside Sultan. They paddle and wade through the gentle breakers onto a wide beach of golden sand. Hugging his giant furry friend.
I'm sure gonna miss you, Sultan. I'm gonna miss you. But you'll be safe here, okay?
Paul leaves Sultan lying on the sand.
Stay.
Paul waves as he wades into the sea.
Bye, Sultan.
Sultan watches Paul dive into the waves and swim back to the boat, then rises and bounds off up the beach. The boat owner grabs Paul's hand and hauls him up out of the sea. Paul grins and raises his hand in a wave as he watches Sultan take a final leap out of sight into the forest. Description created by SDI Media, funded by Walt Disney Studios, written and narrated by Toby Mace, Walt Disney Productions.